Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. If you're lacking in strength, to have that extra strength. If you're lacking in wisdom, to have more wisdom. If you're lacking in different areas of your life, maybe it's in relationship, in loving others. Man, I struggle to love others. To have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power of the Holy Spirit without measure. If you don't know what Pentecost Sunday is, I found out that there are a number of countries that celebrate Pentecost Sunday. In fact, I found out from my mom, her brother, they had called and said, so do you have a holiday for Pentecost Sunday? And of course, Pentecost Sunday is on a Sunday. It's always on a Sunday. But a lot of countries, they'll have the Monday off, recognizing Pentecost Sunday. So Germany is one of those of a number, I don't know, 20 countries or more, that actually have a holiday recognizing Pentecost Sunday. A lot of times in a lot of churches, evangelical churches, there may not be even a single mention on Pentecost Sunday of Pentecost. And part of it is the fact that that was for then, and it's not for today. Pentecost is not for today. It happened 2,000 years ago, just after Jesus went to be with the Father and sit on the right hand of the Father. But Pentecost is not for today. It's not for us today. I mentioned this power without measure, to have the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. If you look at the word Pentecost, it basically just means the 50th day. And it was celebrated every year over from the time that it was instituted by God, and it was a celebration and a thanking of the recognition of a completed harvest. And so there was the harvest even 7 weeks plus one day before. They were celebrating the Passover. And a recognition they had come out of slavery. They had come out of bondage, the Israelites. And there was, they estimate, probably between 2 to 3 million people that were in slavery at that time. And they came out. And the last night was Passover. And they had to take a lamb at the Passover. And the instruction was given the last day before they went out from Egypt, before they left Egypt, they celebrated the Passover. On the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb, and it was the first month for them, would be around our April, March, April, where we celebrate Easter, Good Friday. And on the 10th day of the month, they basically would take a lamb, or they took a lamb that first time. And on the 14th day, that one-year-old lamb was sacrificed, and they took the blood of that lamb, and they put it on the lintels of their doors where they were living, and across the top or the post the posts and the lintel across the top, and they just put blood, and the blood covered them for when the angel of death came across and took out the firstborn animal, or and the firstborn or male animal and sons. The firstborns were taken out by the angel of death, unless there was blood covering. Pentecost is 50 days after. So seven sets of 7 weeks. And then the next day after is Pentecost, the 50th day. And so there's a celebration. It had to do with recognition of a harvest. There was something different about the Pentecost that happened 2,000 years ago or 1,992 years ago. 33 years that Jesus was on this planet and he went to the cross and he died. He took all our sins of all those past, present, and future. He took all the sins of Dave and every single person here, whether you're a believer or not. He took your sins upon himself and he paid the penalty of my sin and your sin and the sin of every single person that has ever lived from the beginning and will live to the end. And he took their sins upon himself so that we can have forgiveness of sins if we believe in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, overcoming death and hell and the power and dominion of sin and the consequences of sin in our life if we keep our faith in him and what he did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. Now, I want to read quickly about that very first Pentecost, or that Pentecost that was different. And they had been celebrating it every year for over 1,000 years. There was times where they missed it because they weren't serving God. So they didn't celebrate. They didn't do any of the sacrifices. They didn't do any of the festivals, the feast days that they had. But for many, when they were used or acknowledging the sacrifice and the sacrifices, all pointing to Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice for us, as they would acknowledge, as they did acknowledge, on this particular Pentecost, there was a difference as Jesus had risen from the dead. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and this is Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, and there was about 120, that they weren't in the upper room at that point. That's where they would reside at night, but they would basically be in the court of the Gentiles or in that area outside of the temple where and by the altar, but outside. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. To be in one accord in one place. Powerful. That's what happened yesterday. We were in one accord in one place right here. I had made a call out. We called out for prayer, for impossible situations. God heard. We prayed last week for Ashley and those that were going out, and God heard. And we were praying. There was a call out. May I say this? In all my life, I have not seen such attack on individuals and ministries like I did in the last few weeks. And maybe some of you may be aware or sensing there's an attack on the church, on individuals. The church isn't a building, it's people. But I have never seen such extreme attack and viciousness and stuff coming against even myself. And so there was a call to come together. It was late at night. It was 10:30 on Friday night. I sent out a blurb around 10:30. And I said, whoever can, please come tomorrow morning and we are going to pray and come against this. And there was, I think, 13 of us that came together yesterday and we prayed in the Spirit and we prayed in with understanding. Let me just describe how it was going. The instruction around the word, and there was word given first of the power of God, even as we would fight. It says the weapons that we use are not carnal, they're not of man, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God would come against the knowledge of God. Every imagination or argument, these things can be cast down even as the strongholds are torn down. The high things and the arguments can be cast down. Taking captive every thought that is not in obedience to Christ. As the disobedience turns to obedience, as we are obedient, we can even come against that which is of disobedience. And I'll tell you, there's disobedience that was going on and is going on, and we came against it. And so around the word, there's other words, word given. There was prayer with understanding. I said, listen, as we begin to pray, we're going to pray until you feel unctioned by the Lord. We're going to pray in the Spirit. And so we were praying. You might say, what does that mean, praying in the Spirit? Basically, pray in another language. We were in one place in one accord. One accord in one place. We were all in agreement. And so we're praying in the Spirit, another language. The Holy Spirit letting our spirit know what to pray, bypassing our own understanding, bypassing our mind. Just a little thing on this. Let me just go on just quickly. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gave them the utterance. So what was happening is when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit unctions our spirit what to pray, and our spirit now prays according to the will of God Almighty. It is the most powerful way to pray. Because we can pray with understanding, the understanding we may have, and if we don't base it on the Word of God, we can pray things that are not in line with the will of God when we pray according to our own understanding. And you say, Pastor, what does that mean? You shouldn't pray with understanding? No, absolutely. Pray with understanding according to the word of the Lord. It says about the armor of God, it says that the sword, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 18. And then there's a little colon in the King James Version. It says, making all prayer and supplication for the saints in the Spirit. And so that was what was happening here yesterday. And I'll tell you, there was a continued going before the Lord as we prayed in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, somebody would be unctioned then to pray also or pray out loud with understanding according to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That person, and I had said, I want you to raise your voice at that point when you start praying out, and then we will agree with you. We're going to agree with that prayer. And so this wave of praying in the Spirit and praying with understanding and praying with in the Spirit, and it was just a beautiful thing. And even as people were praying with understanding with that loud voice, there was this soft the softness of prayer in the Spirit. You say, Pastor, can you pray in the Spirit and listen and agree with somebody praying with understanding? Absolutely. It's amazing that as you pray in the Spirit, it's bypassing your mind. In fact, they did an experiment years ago for somebody that was speaking in tongues. They basically hooked up electrodes or whatever they did. And they found that when a person is praying with understanding, like praying in English for me, their verbal frontal lobe area is lit up. And when they are praying in the Spirit, that part that's lit up when you're praying with understanding is totally dark. There's no activity there. Even though you're praying in the Spirit, it's bypassing your mind and understanding. So I can agree with somebody else praying even as I pray in the Spirit, just softly. Listen, we do this in order, decently and in order. Everything that is done in the service as we would gather together is done decently and in order. I thank the Lord for the power of prayer that went up. I'll tell you, one of the things that we were praying for was so extreme. And we were praying, Lord, at the end of the day, the solutions to the prayers came, and there was wisdom given in what needed to be done regarding the situation, and so that there was solutions that came from beyond us. I just felt prompted. I needed to connect. And anyways, long story short, the Holy Spirit gave exactly what needed to be done. And I just say thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, the power without measure, the power of this particular Pentecost that is available today. And we don't have to wait for Pentecost Sunday to have the Holy Spirit without measure. It can be any day of the year or week or hour, doesn't matter. I thank the Lord. When I don't know what to pray with understanding, it's like, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I will start to pray in the Spirit. In fact, there are times where I have these mindless jobs to do, like cutting grass. I look forward to cutting grass because I can cut grass and I can pray in the Spirit at the same time. So I don't waste any time. And so I begin to pray in the Spirit. And sometimes it'd be like, well, I don't know. What am I even praying for? I do know this, that it is the will of God. Because the Holy Spirit is unctioning my spirit what to pray in the Spirit. And so there's mysteries that are spoken. Mysteries to us, they're not mysteries to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. I just say, thank you, Lord. My spirit can pray according to the will of God. All right. There was a response to this. To this thing that happened where there's this being in one accord in one place. And I am looking forward to the day when we are in this place. And that we are in one accord in this place, and that there is a move of the Holy Spirit. That every single person, from the youngest to the oldest, that is a believer, would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them, and also a refilling and a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need it continually. It would never stop flowing upon us and in us. Hallelujah. There was a response to this. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed, marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Like, this is a long list of different people from all over. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. They were speaking languages they didn't even know. They're Galileans. How is it that they're speaking our language and they're speaking things that are declaring the wonders, the wondrous works of God? So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. And Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Now, this prophet Joel lived 800 BC. It was 800 years before. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The reason that it was taking place then is because Jesus had not gone to the cross. He had not gone and taken our sins upon himself. He had not died yet, and he had not risen from the dead. So it hadn't happened before, but now it happened on that particular Pentecost Sunday. And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in these last days. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So young and old, and my men servants and all my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This word that was given 2,800 years ago is still relevant for today, because it says in the latter days, in the very last days before the return of the Lord, there is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit again. And it's already been happening. The last 120 plus years, there has been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the church has expanded. Those that have come to Christ has expanded powerfully. In the times back then, 1 out of 2.5 million, they estimate that the Earth's population was around 5 or half a billion people, 500 million. There was 120, around 120 that were baptized. All of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So 1 out of 2.5 million people at that time would have been a believer. But the amazing thing is, as Peter shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he didn't pull any punches, and as he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, the people were pricked in their hearts. Therefore, let all, this is verse 36, Acts 2, 36. Actually, let me go to Acts 2, 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, that's being Jesus, he was exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. This thing that's happening right now, these people praying in another language, and this sound that you heard, this rushing mighty wind, it is them receiving the promise of the Father. They received the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit, and he's poured out, Jesus has poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or in other words, because your sins have been remitted. They've been taken care of, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The church went from 1 out of 2.5 million, and now it's like, somebody do the math for me. 500,000 or 500,000,000 divided by 3,120. Anybody got the math? Anyways, the church expanded powerfully. The promise of your Heavenly Father is for every believer. Don't you ever think and believe, well, oh, it's not for me, though. What kind of father? I'll tell you right now. I thank God for my earthly father. There was no partiality. And I couldn't say, well, my father loved me less than he loved my two brothers, one older and one younger. I don't know, Ernie? You think so? I don't know. But I'll say this. God is not partial in saying you get the promise and you don't get the promise of the Father. He doesn't say that. The promise of the Father is for every single person that is a child of God. That's who our Heavenly Father is. We belong to him. We are children of God. And the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, without measure, is promised to you. Jesus, just before he left this planet, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I, Jesus, send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The promise of the Father comes with power. And we need to ask of this. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And so they were waiting. And as they were waiting, they were blessing the Lord. They were praising the Lord. You know what? That's a good thing that you can do, that I can do when we're waiting. If you don't have the Spirit without measure that was on Jesus, there was no measure of the Holy Spirit on him. And as you begin to bless and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for the promise of the Father, here I am. Lord, Jesus, baptize me in the promise of the Father. We need to ask. Jesus even said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Got to persist. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, among us, as a father, would you give your son or daughter a stone? Dad, I'm hungry. Here's a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Our earthly fathers wouldn't do that. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You might say, why do we need the Spirit without measure? See, in one day, one man who had denied Jesus just 50 days earlier, had denied him not once, not twice, but three times he denied Jesus. And he swore. It says he cursed and he swore, just to emphasize the fact that, I don't know Jesus. Are you kidding me? I don't know Jesus. And 50 days later, in the power of the Holy Spirit, this same man preaches a message and 3,000 people get saved. There was something happening that day. He was obedient to say, I want the Holy Spirit. You might say, who is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit? And we need the Holy Spirit especially, because we're not just praying for this church to be filled. You even filled twice. Or three times, or 10 times, but we are praying and believing for 1/4 of this Niagara region to get saved. That's 125,000 people. It won't happen unless by the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot. Listen, there's been churches in this area for 150 years, 100 years. This year, 50 years of existence, from a family of 5 and 2 people, good start with 7 on that first Sunday, to now. There's a few years before, so for us it's 48 years for being there. But in 1975, the church started with a man purchasing a building, saying, I'm going to start services. It was a friend of both my father and mother and their parents. And here he started not just this church, he started about 20 other churches in the last part of his life. Over 20 churches he started. He was a church planter. And this is one of the churches. I just say, thank you, Lord. 50 years. This is the acceptable year. This is the year of Jubilee. I had somebody say to me, I appreciate the word. It's like a circle. The circle of 50 years is up, starting a new thing. Starting a new thing. It was 37, something like that, or 30 years ago. Or sorry, 28 years ago yesterday, that this building was dedicated to the Lord. 28 years ago yesterday, June 7th. Yeah. I just say, thank you, Lord. There's a dedication that took place of this building. And we had gone from downtown to this location. Much work was done from that little church. And the Lord is expanding, and there's a work being done. I'll tell you, it's been like this. Roller coaster. But I'll tell you, there is a new season that's starting today. Today, a new season is starting the next 50 years, should the Lord tarry. And we are believing, not just for 125,000, but we are believing for 1/4 of those that would come to the Niagara region to visit even the falls. They say 12 to 14 million people every year. You've heard me say this over the course of the last year. And we prayed and we are praying that 1/4 of those get saved. They're only here for 1 or 2 days. If we're going to see 3 million people get saved in 1 year, we need to see 10,000 people saved every day for 300 days in the year. That's 3 million people. You say, Pastor Dave, you're nuts. I'm telling you, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, that every single one of you are operating and functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not the Spirit with measure. Let me just say the difference. Let me just use an illustration here. All right. This is me as a believer. It's you as a believer. There's your head, there's your body, Just imagine his legs and arms on this. Not the best shape, but anyways. Inside is the Holy Spirit. This is this amount. There's a measure of the Holy Spirit. There's a measure of the Holy Spirit. It says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you, as a believer, as a child of God, the moment you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and you acknowledge what he did for you on the cross, that he died for you on the cross, took your sins upon himself, and he was buried and he rose again. As you believe that and you receive Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit with measure. Now, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. And I just want to jump ahead here a little bit. John 3:27 says, and John answered, this is John the Baptist, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. John the Baptist was not the Christ, but I have been sent before him, the one that is the Christ. I was sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John the Baptist was rejoicing over the bridegroom that was coming or was there. He must increase. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. As we receive his testimony of who he is, we certify that God is true. He is the Son of God. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Now listen, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. By measure. This is by measure. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. That's the thing about the power of Pentecost, is having the Spirit without measure. Okay, just to finish off this illustration, let me just finish this. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, this is, and I'll just hang on to this. Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, the same one that said he has a spirit without measure, says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, upon Jesus. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The one on who the Holy Spirit descends, this was Jesus, is the one that will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus desires for us to have the promise of the Father and that we would operate in the Spirit without measure. So Jesus is the one, and I'll tell you, when I was 14 years of age, there was a group of youth between the ages of 13 or 14 right up to 18, and we were waiting. We were in one accord in one place. Again, I don't know who was preaching that week. I don't know who preached that night, but I do know this, that we were all waiting in one accord in one place. And I don't know how long we were waiting, whether it was 20 minutes, half an hour, or an hour, I don't know. But at one point, suddenly, what happened 2,000 years ago happened to the extent that the Holy Spirit fell on all of us at the same time. I have never seen it since that day. And I know that the Lord allowed for me to experience this, because this guy, who did not speak in front of people, who was shy and timid, and the worst thing you could possibly do is have me talk in front of people, all of a sudden, as I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I began to speak in another language. And at that moment, Jesus baptized, poured out the Spirit on that group of young people that were there, and we were baptized, if this is the Holy Spirit. Now, not just having, I was a believer, I got saved when I was 7. The Spirit was in me, by measure. Now, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit without measure. I'm moving. Man, let me move by the Holy Spirit. You might say, can you be Spirit-filled and not move by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, absolutely. Because it says we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So we can do these things. It's like, at that point, it's like, hey, you know what? You know, Holy Spirit, I want to just do my own thing. And I grieve the Holy Spirit. No, Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. Or the Holy Spirit is prompting to go this way, and we say, nope, I'm jumping out here. I'm on my own. And the Holy Spirit desires to move this way, and so we have just the Holy Spirit within us convicting us at that point. Hey, that you would operate in me without measure. The Spirit without measure, that we would operate powerfully. And I believe that as these different things happen through us, you might say, but Pastor, you don't know. I have no capability. I don't have anything. Are you kidding me? Because you have the Holy Spirit and you are in the Holy Spirit, the things that you will do is so far beyond what you could possibly imagine. The Spirit without measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we stand together? On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Has Jesus been glorified already? Yes. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's on the right hand of the Father, and he's saying, I want to give you the Spirit without measure. The promise of the Father is for every single believer. Today, if you are not a believer, you just say, Lord, forgive me. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. But I'm hearing that you took care of my sins on a cross. I confess that you took my sins upon yourself and you died for me. You were buried and you rose again. You overcame death and hell. I believe that. Come into my life. And Lord, I don't want you just to come into my life. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit even now, in Jesus' name. You might say, is that possible? Absolutely. Read Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, his family, servants, they got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then got baptized in water all on the same day. That's for now, that we would operate in the power without measure. If what Jesus could do, he's saying greater works than I have done, you will do. Because I go to my Father, and the Holy Spirit is available. He had to be glorified. When the Holy Spirit fell, Jesus was on the right hand of the Father. Father, let the power of the Holy Spirit come now in Jesus' name. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall on us right now. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit upon us like it was on the 120, 2,000 years ago, 1,992 years ago. And the Spirit of God was poured out. Lord, I just pray right now that there will be that outpouring of your Spirit upon us. Because, Lord, we want to be laborers in your harvest. We want to bring in that harvest. It's your harvest. You are the Lord of the harvest. And, Lord, you desire for us to bring in souls. Lord, I don't know exactly. I've got inklings of what needs to be done. But, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.